طرائف نحن. I always like to start because the preamble to Pesach, of course, is Shabbos HaGadol. So the one thing I always said, because my grandfather was Niftar Erev Pesach with the chametz in his hand, he lay down with the chametz, holding the chametz. And as I always said, it was a learning experience even from a Rebbe, because he went to burn the chametz and he turned around and he went back. My grandmother called out and said, of course she said in Yiddish, that Reb Meisha, I think I forgot to turn off the gas in the kitchen. And he turned around, he took one step to the kitchen and he lay down on the floor and died. I was walking with him to burn the chametz. And it's just like my father was a Rebbe, he was a Rebbe, and my father took a look and I called him and he said, what's the matter? I said, Zayda died. And I was just before my ninth birthday. He asked me later why I said he died, and so I said, because he didn't fall down. He just lay down slowly, stretched out, put his hands across his chest and closed his eyes. And I said, he looked like he died. And that was all it was. I know Rebbe Nechemia said his father also was, his grandfather was Nifter Erev Pesach also. I don't know what year. This was 1958 Erev Pesach. But the point is that at that experience is my father looked at the situation and he says, you know, let that be a lesson to you right away, because everything was a lesson for my grandfather and father. The way they taught me everything was Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokin. And that's it. And that was the first thing he said to me. He said, remember that nobody, you know, he was going to burn a mitzvah, he was going to burn the chametz, but he turned around and he went back, and that's what caused it, just like the story of David HaMelech. But nevertheless, he was a lot harder on, he was a lot softer on me when he gave me a faher on Sundays. When he was Nifter, I learned with him initially, and then my grandmother gave me a faher, and she was rough on me, which brought me to the point. We say in the Haftorah on Shabbos HaGadol, he ne'onochi sholeach lochem es Eliyahu Hanavi, and lefnei yom bo hagadol v'anora. It always bothered me why you would send. I mean, when I thought about it, as a child, I would be, you know, my father would give me the Vatoris to say at my grandfather's, they had a Shabbos HaGadol, a big, in the shul on the east side, they had a big suda for him on Matzah Shabbos HaGadol, they had a few hundred people, and I was always Achron Achron Chaviv, the speaker, an Einikel, the tired Einikel, you know, would get up to speak, this little pizzicle, and I would get up and say something, and the first Vatora I remember my father wrote for me to say was Veheshiv Levavos Abonim Vlebonim Alavosam. And I never appreciated it really. And it sort of reached the point where I finally, it begins to sink in. And that's the message of Veheshiv Levavos. Sometimes, you know, you get it when you're 65 in reality. But the point is, I always wondered why, in reference to my grandfather, you know, you want to say Zikru Tupsukim before that. How come God is going to send you Eliyahu HaNavi? The Rabban Shel Yisrael is Moshe Rabbeinu. And, of course, two psukim before that pasuk, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, it says, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. And so God is saying, I initially said, before I thought of it in terms of my grandfather, but when it said, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, the trouble is, Moshe was always being a Melech Yoshe for Klal Yisrael, and since he was the Melech Yoshe, he would always pat somebody on their head, like my grandfather did to me, and say, all right, so you'll do better tomorrow, and you'll learn better. When I got a faher from my grandmother, she never patted me on the head and say, you'll know better tomorrow. She used to scream at my father that I'm an idiot, and I have to go back and learn a little bit more, and she blamed my father for not teaching me better, because I didn't answer her questions properly, and she had shilas for me, and I never asked, she was going deep in it, my grandfather did, and he gave me a little bit more latitude. But that was the message of the psukim over there. Moshe was always giving them a little latitude and saying, you'll do better tomorrow. So he taught Klal Yisrael the mitzvos, and that's where they learned it from. But the reality is, on Lefnei Yom Bo HaGadol V'Hanora, is Eliyahu HaNavi brooked no insurrection. Eliyahu HaNavi was fire and brimstone. And Lefnei Yom Bo HaGadol V'Hanora, there is no tomorrow. There is no day to do better. You know, you'll do better next time. The end has come. So lifnei yom habo hagadol v'hanoro, you need Eliyahu Hanavi to preach fire and brimstone and scream, this is it. There's no turning back now. It's either do or die. Very simple. But the fact is, the reason it said, what I realized recently again is, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, you could only reach that point to get to the point of, if Eliyahu Hanavi comes, and get to the point where you could do the tshuva that you need, Lifnei Yom Bo HaGadol V'Hanora, is if Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. If you really remember the Torah of Moshe, your teacher. And so while my grandmother's yelling at me would not have helped to make me, let's say, want to sit down and learn more if I didn't remember Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, if I didn't remember what my grandfather taught me first, and then it gave me a different level of appreciation to go beyond that and reach that point where I would accept the tochacha from my grandmother and look to do better. But that's what's necessary. So Veheshiv, and at that point in time, when I came to that realization, then I understand the final pasuk is Veheshiv Levavos al Bonim Vele Bonim Alavosam. At that point, when you realize that that's what it's all about, and that you can accept the tochacha from your grandmother, and then it's at that point, or you accept the tochacha of a parent, and you could take it with a ganzen hearts and understand what the purpose of it is, and then it's veheshiv levavos al bonim vele bonim alavosam. And basically, on some level, that's what I was probably being told by my father, but did not understand when he gave me the message to say over at the first yard site. I always wanted to start with that. Vayi b'shalach paro es ha'om is very interesting, and we just mentioned it over here. V'lo nacham elokim derech eretz plishtim. You mentioned it, so it gave me thought. And I mentioned part of this previously when we did Parshas B'Shalach. But what is Kikarov Hu? Kikarov Hu means that it was too soon. It was too soon for them to engage in any kind of conflict at this point, because they would turn tail and run back to Mitzrayim. But reality is, 7 days later, they had them after the Yamsuf, they ran into Amalek. And so what was the difference between now and Amalek when they had a war with Amalek a week later, and when they ran into that, why did God allow that to happen? And the answer is, the major factor involved in the of Milchemes Amalek, what changed there was Kriyas Yamsuf. And by Kriyas Yamsuf, we know what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf, is Rabbi Albert says in his Sefer that they saw the whole idea of Din V'Onesh. This is how God operates. You do something for me, Nachshon jumped into the water. You want me to do something for you. The 10 Makos were just a overview. You just sat back and watched the Disney light show, and I did all the Makos. I wrought them on Mitzrayim, and you didn't do anything, and you just went ahead, except for putting the blood on the doorpost, basically. That's all you accomplished. Very good. But the reality is, now they saw Din V'Cheshbin, they saw, if you do something for me, this is the way I operate. You do something good for me, I'll do something in turn for you. Very good. But the fact is, Vayari Yisrael es Mitzrayim meis al sfas hayom. The people that were chasing them, they now saw closure. They, at this juncture, they saw that the Mitzrayim, they didn't have to look over their shoulder anymore. Now, before, until now, 30 years before, when Ephraim tried to make a break for it, as we know previously, and the Gemara tells us that they left 40 years early because they made the Cheshbin from the Bishrei and the Besarim to 400 years. And so they counted 30 years early, and they went, and what I think it's the Gemara Baba Basra that makes a point of saying, why were they hunted down and killed? Because if anybody should not have left without the Atzmos Yosef, it should have been Ephraim, the son of Yosef. They were the one, Ki Ashpeya Hishbia, Valisem Es Atzmosai Mizeh Etchem. And what did Ephraim do? Shevet Ephraim, they left, and they didn't take Yosef's bones with them. And so that was caused their downfall. And of course, some of the family members, you see five names of the Shvat, of the family members of Binyamin, as we see in Pinchas. We don't see their names mentioned anymore. Binyamin had 10 sons, and in the census, we don't see 5 of the sons mentioned. So, Vayi b'shalach paro etzom kikarov, it was too soon. It just didn't work. But what was really the problem at the end? When we say Vayosha, the only time that Moshe's name is mentioned in Haggadah, it says Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. Why was now they believe in Moshe? Me previously they didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. The point is that the people in Mitzrayim, when God was telling Moshe, he gave him the shlichus to take Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe said Shlach no biat tishlach. What was the reason that Moshe gave? He says, "Vehem lo yaminu li velo yishmi b'koli." The Avudram makes a very interesting point on the Diak and the Loshon over here, and he says, "Vehem lo yaminu li." They believe in the Gula. They believe that the time has come, probably. They know it's time, or maybe some of them were of the opinion that they counted 400 years and they were only there 210, and they thought the time for the Gula wasn't there, but they definitely believed that if God was going to come to take them out, they were going to come to take them out. The problem is, Moshe said the operative word in the Pasuk is Li. Behem lo yaminu li, velo yishmum bikoli. They're not going to listen to me because who am I? They would listen to somebody else. But me, Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't know me. I am not the person that they think is going to be the emissary, the shliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not going to believe in me. What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? When they reached this far that they were able to vanquish the Mitzrayim, Vayari Yisrael as Mitzrayim, Mesal Sfasayam, they were thinking back previously to the foiled efforts of Ephraim to leave. But now, the difference is, when they saw Vayari Yisrael at Mitzrayim for this whole week, they're worried Mitzrayim is maybe going to chase them, Mitzrayim is coming after them, maybe, and they're going to be hunted down the same way Shevet Ephraim was. But once they saw Mitzrayim vanquished, Vayari Yisrael at Mitzrayim, Meisal Sfasayam, then Vayaminu Bashem, Uva Moshe Avdo, now the Lo Yishmum Bekoli was now null and void. That was, now they knew that they had broken the chains of bondage, and they realized that is the end of that era. Does very that, simple. What?
Diminish the emuna somewhat.
Of who?
Of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, sure. So we have that problem, and that's why that. So Rabbi Albert, you're asking a very good question, because Rabbi Albert makes a point of saying,
supposed to be a prayer.
No, he answers very good. No, it's a perfect question. You're right, 100%. And it says Avodim Oyinu Lefaru Mitzrayim. So we'll move on to another point over here. Then to answer that is Avodim Oyinu Lefaru Mitzrayim Vayotzienu Hashem and Hareyonu Vonenu Mishubanim Lefaru Mitzrayim. So the Avodim makes a point of saying, I mean, would be, there is no more paro. Mitzrayim doesn't exist the way we know it today. Would we be slaves in Mitzrayim? Of course not. We wouldn't be slaves today in Mitzrayim. There's no paro anymore. So you want to say paro is just a figurehead name of some sort of slave. That's not what he means. Rabbi Alper makes a point of saying that people reach a certain point in time. Hareyonu vonenu means we have to think of ourselves as the one who went free, because those, it says Misha Niskalkalu Niskalkalu, the people who left Mitzrayim were dead man walking. They left Mitzrayim, they had grown up and lived their whole life in Mitzrayim. That generation was too far gone to be the free people that would move into Eretz Israel, to be the harbinger of a new nation. They would be too far gone for that. Their life was spiritually closed, and there was nothing you could do for them anymore. They were beyond saving at that point. Makes this a very interesting point. So, Hare Anu Uvonenu, in other words, who was the Gula for? The Gula Shalem, or the Gula of Megulas Mitzrayim, was for the children and the grandchildren. That's who it was. So we have to be the ones who are thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu, not our parents, because their lives were over. So they only took it out. It's like our parents. They do something for us, and they could have $1 million. You see people scrimp and save, and they still live like, you know, we all know plenty of people who live like, you know, very poor people, and all of a sudden you find out that they left $1 million or $5 million in there for their children because they scrimped and saved the whole life they lived so that their children or grandchildren could have a better life, and that's, they didn't feel like they needed it, and they saved for them. The people who went on to Mitzrayim were too far gone. They were over. So God freed these people. They weren't actually freed. They were being freed so that their children could have a better life. Their life was now a done deal. It wasn't going to be, except for certain Yechidim, certainly. And of course, the end result was, we see that God understands what he's doing, because the end result was, Yitamu v'sham yamusu. What happened? They never did attain that spiritual level where they could be the ones to enter Eretz Yisrael, because they just had that slave mentality. And that even though walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage, it doesn't matter. It's just, the spiritual level was never going to come back. Now, the chipazon, we say, ki b'chipazon yotzasa, and on one we eat the matzah because ki b'chipazon, and one level we also say that lechem oni. So which one is it? So when we say in the Haggadah, matzah zu, Pesach, we don't say Pesach zu, but we say Morozu, zu, matzah zu, we point to the matzah. What do? We're pointing to the matzah. There are two types of matzah. We have the psukim that we say b'chipazon. We eat it because it was b'chipazon. We had to leave and we didn't have a chance to bake. The reality is matzah zu, this matzah at the Seder, which one is it? So matzah zu, this matzah that we're eating at the Seder table, that's the one b'chipazon. The matzah that we're eating for future generations the rest of the year is a remembrance for the lechem oni at the rest of the Seder when we eat it. But when I point the matzah that's on the matzah tash, the matzah from the Seder plate, is the matzah is ki b'chipozon. Matzah zu is b'chipozon. For the matzah that we're doing the other things are, it's matzah zu, the other matzah is lechem oni. The rest of the Haggadah is for lechem oni, shedvar malov onim harbe. Very good. And the same thing with morozu. We eat chrein with our fish every week or whatever it is. If you do, we dip in a lot of things that are very sharp and very spicy. But the reality is, morozu, the reason that we're eating this particular morah tonight is for that very simple reason. And it's interesting enough, we're not encouraged to find out the reason for a lot of mitzvahs in general, that we're always taught, just do, you know, yours is not the reason why, yours is but to do and die. You just do it, what you're told, and that's the end of that, and you do what you're told, you don't have to know the reason. And Pesach is very interesting, because we are, Yisipa Yisipa Mitzrayim is always to find out exactly what we do and why we do it. That's the most important part of Pesach, is v'higata talavincha b'yom ha'uleimor, you want to tell the child. So we get to the Arba Bonim, and when we say to the Arba Bonim, what is the questions of the Arba Bonim? When the Rosh says, mo'a voda azos lochem, he's saying, I understand, this is after the Gula, I understand all about the Gula, I always understood that God took us out of Mitzrayim. I believe in God, same as you, no different. The difference is with me, now, is since we left Mitzrayim, and we're all free, so now what do I have to go through all of this aggravation of all the things that I do now? I've reached this point in my life where I don't have to do any more, So he's saying, so what is the answer to him? Ilu hayosham lo hayonigal. The Beis Halevi makes an interesting point in saying, if you take a look at the Lashon, is a Rasha, when he talks to you, he's more than likely going to change you before you change him. And that's why it doesn't say, you don't say to him. It says, ilu hayosham, you're talking to the third person. You're saying to yourself, im ilu hayosham, if he was, you're supposed to be talking to him, but the others it says apsach lo. Here it says,
over there it also
doesn't say that's a good question, but that's this. It's not the same thing, because the answers are different from different people. But the point is, you're not talking to him at that point, you're just covering your eyes and saying he wouldn't have been. But what the Avudram says is, ilu hayosham lo hayonigol, he wants to tell you a very simple fact. If he were there at that time, you want to express to him, who died in the Choshech? The Rishayim? No, he said. It wasn't the Rishayim. Who died in the Choshech, the Jews that died in the Choshech were the Jews who were supposed to just take time came and they had to die. The Rishayim, God wanted to make sure that they stayed alive to see the Gula Vachamushim, Alu B'nai Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that only the fifth that left were the ones who truly believed in the Gula, and they wanted to experience the Gula, and God gave them the ability to experience it and to see it. He wanted the Rishayim to remain behind and to experience it, but experience it and see the other people leave. It would be more aggravating for them to say, you see, if you were there, God would have made sure that you would have been still a slave in Mitzrayim at that juncture. You would have been there to watch us leave and had the aggravation, the same way you once mentioned, Rabbi Levine mentioned a couple of years ago. I looked up, I saw from literally a few thousand pages of notes over the last 4 years that I've taken. I found also from, Shelley's son-in-law, the notes on his shir on Hallel he gave. I noticed it last night. But the point is, he went ahead and I forgot what I just said. Yeah. All right. I lost my train of thought, but I shouldn't have digressed. But the point is, the Ben Arusha says, Mo'av Odas Os Lachem, he says, I don't understand over here what we're all going through over here. It's unnecessary, all this work. It's not necessary anymore. So the Chacham, and therefore on the same context, what does the Chacham say? Listen, he's being very nice, he says. But what is the answer you give to the Chacham? He says, Mo'edos v'achukim v'mishpatim asher tzivo elokeinu eschem. Nothing to do with the Lashon except, but what is he, and what do you answer? Ein maftir nacha pesach avikomen. What is the symbolism of that phrase over there? What are you telling the Chacham? It's very simple. The Avudram makes the point of saying once again, you know what? The Chacham is saying to you, listen, we're sitting here, kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu yodim es haTorah. We all know all the stories, the Maisalach, from Rabbi Elezer ben Azaria, and from Rabbi Akiva, and I learned all of these things, and I know all the stories. I'm not so much interested, even though it's mitzvah leinu l'sapet b'tzias mitzrayim, but I need to know something else. You know what I need to know? More eidos v'achukim. I need to know already more of the halachos, the klal uprat, of all the things that I need to be mekayim, the mitzvah, all the mitzvos ha-pesach, properly. And so what do you tell him? All right, so you want to know halachas. I'm going to give you a sample of halachas. You don't need to hear the stories. You're on a different level. Kulanu chacham, kulanu nevonim. So you don't need to hear all the little stories. So now I'm going to focus on all the halachas of bringing the Pesach and... what? No, so, Eim Aftir and Achra Pesach, Avikom, and I'm going to give you an example of the laws. Right, we know that. So that's it. Right, I say, but we know that, but he's saying that the idea is, so you're giving, it's just giving you more sample of the halachas of Pesach that you wanted to know. It's just an interesting thing. What Rabbi Alba makes a point of saying, I always feel obligated to say something from him, but he says, interesting, when we get to Yachatz, what is the reason for the Yachatz? Because it's the symbolism, we begin the Seder with Yachatz, is to symbolize that even though we should always know, in other words, we wear a kittel at the Seder because whether it's Derech Eretz or it's maybe a Siman Avelis, that we should mitigate our joy at that moment, perhaps. But he says, so in the same vein, is Yachatz is very simple. Yachatz is, even though we're sitting here symbolizing the Golus, but Yachatz is just to tell you, it's the Gula. It's not the Gula Shleima. It's Yachatz, it's broken. It's not the final Gula Shalema that we're hoping for, that when we say at the end of the Seder, Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, that will be the Gula Shalema. Start off the Seder, we're symbolizing the Gula, but it's Yachatz. It's not the Gula Shalema, it's the end. What I wanted to suggest was, Yachatz is, as Rabbi Levine has mentioned many times before that when we talk about the Nisyonos of Avraham or whatever it is in Yiddishkeit, everything is on a progression. Everything works on a progression. The Seder starts off with Yachatz is to tell you, just like Messiah, we Chila Bignus, Maschilim Bignus, Messiah B'Shevach, everything is a progression. So we sit down to the Seder and we're trying to say, like, Mitchila Hayu of the Avodah Zorah, is it Avraham? It's not. Everything, we start from the very lowest rung and we move up and we go further and further until we reach the end. Yachatz is, we were in Mitzrayim, our hearts were broken. Yachatz was, we were totally split. We were a nation of individuals, and little by little, and we put it away. When are we ready to eat the yachatz? When are we ready to digest the whole idea of freedom? Is when we've done the entire Maggid, and we've reached the end of the meal, and we now feel satisfied that we've processed all the information that we had, and we feel more unified as a nation, then we are ready to eat the Afikoman and say, now we're ready to digest the final piece and come together as a people that will call it, so we, it's the Yachatz comes together at the end with the Afikoman. We take that Yachatz that we put away with the Afikoman and we eat the end, the rest of the middle matzah, so to speak, putting it together into our system and combining everything at once. When we say Kolach Ma'an, you're the Acholav Asan of Yarad Mitzrayim, and he says, Avudram makes another point of saying, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol, Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yivsach. Who are we talking about over here? I remember my sister asking, one of my earliest recollections, she was 3 years older than, she still is, 3 years older than I am, we didn't catch up. And she said to my father, she didn't understand why if it's Elalim Nuyav, then how could it be? I guess, I don't know if her Mora told her Torah in Beis Yaakov, but whatever it is, she was at a very young age at that time. She couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old, but she said she didn't understand if it was Elalim Nuyav. And how could it be called Ditzrich Yesev Yivsach? It's not possible. He said, obviously, so the Avudram much again and saying, it's obviously this tefillah that we begin the Haggadah with was obviously written after Chorban. That's number one. It had to be. Otherwise, you couldn't say Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yivsach. But the Afikoman is Nechal Al Sova. So what is the point of the whole thing is Kol Ditzrich, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechel. You're asking, you're inviting in poor people to come and eat. So a poor person comes into the meal, you open up the door and, you know, you invite some people home from shul, and very good. And he's sitting there and he eats the meal. He's finished, he's satisfied, and kol dichvin yesev yechel, you invited somebody that comes into need. We're going to eat the afikoman. I'm satisfied. I'm ready to leave. I had enough to eat, and I'm not looking to stay any longer. Kol ditzrich yesev yisach. Now it becomes to you to say to him, listen, you ate a meal, you were full, you were satisfied. The thing is now you have to stay kol ditzrich. You think that you're finished? You're not finished. Kol ditzrich yesev yivsach. You have to remain now. I'm telling you, you have to remain for the afikoman because that is the zecher v'karban Pesach that was nechal al sova. So you have to remain now and eat the karban Pesach at that time. Yochol Mei Rosh Chodesh. So it says, so you would think that, I remember Rabbi Albishtam once telling me that, it was a joke, but he said, Yochol, Devas Ken. He said, this Rebbe, when he passed away, his father came, he took over and he had to give the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, and he didn't, everybody was waiting for him to post the notes and to make the Drasha. And the Rebbe used to post it weeks before. So the thing is, very good. And all of a sudden they're waiting. And he never posted the Mar Mekaymus for the Drasha. And so he went ahead and finally the day of the Drasha, Erev Shabbos, he posted the notes. And he said, where were the notes beforehand? He said, Yochol, Devas, Ken, is Mei Rosh Chodesh, is Talmud, the one is Bayomahu. The point is over here, it's a very simple thing over here. Again, he mentions in the Haggadah over here, is that Shloshim Yom Kodel Lefnei Achag, you start to Shol and Vedarshin with all the halachas. But Pesach matzo mara, you don't do it achi yesh matzo mara munachum lefonecha, is it has to be yochel. You would think that since that's the halacha, you're supposed to learn. How am I supposed to celebrate Pesach if I don't sit and discuss it? You know, when we did Parshas HaChodesh, we do Shabbos HaGadol, and before we start asking all these questions, we discuss the Haggadah, and we learn all the halachas, just like we're doing now. But the thing is, the mitzvah, l'sapa b'tzias mitzrayim, is b'sha sheyesh matzo umaru menachem lefonecha. You would think, taka, you could yachol me Rosh Chodesh. You would think it's proper to do it from Rosh Chodesh on, because that's what it is. Shloshim yom kol d'mufneach kol d'machad yisholim v'darshim. But why not? Because you can't appreciate it and you don't see. You have to be able to visualize. When you have the matzah and mora lefonecha, then it's a different level of appreciation, and that is the proper time to discuss it. Yochol me Rosh Chodesh. So one other thing that I'll say, at least that. We've mentioned before, v'lo zochisi shitayama yitzias mitzrayim b'layla. He says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah went ahead and said a very simple thing. You know, v'lo zochisi shitayama kol yamai, you know, I lived. So the Gemara says that he was 18 years old. So one of the answers wants to give is the Yerushalmi says that he was only 13 years old. So, but according to the Bavli, so one of the answers given is, the difference is that, you know, Ben Zoma was only 16 years old. So it's not that he felt like he was so old, but he was the Nasi already. And he's saying, listen, I wasn't Royu. I couldn't convince anybody all my life. He's 18 years old. All his life was only 18 years old. And he's only 16, Ben Zoma. So look what he accomplished already. But the Avudra makes an interesting point and says, a lot of people understood about saying Yitzias Mitzrayim Belayla. The difference is, I always did it. V'lo zochisi sheteyame Yitzias Mitzrayim Belayla. I always said the Parshat Tzitzis. My shita was to say, you know, El Bnei Yisrael v'Maratol Ayem, instead of saying Hashem Elokecha Memes, he would say V'yosu Lehem Tzitzis. I always did that, and nobody ever listened to me. I told them. The reason nobody listened to me was, even I also believe that it's a halacha d'rabbanan. It's not a d'raisa. I couldn't convince anybody that there was such a halacha on the books, literally. And I just said, I know you have to do it. I felt you have to do it. Nobody paid attention to me. They said it's only a d'rabbanan. When Ben Zoma came along and said, kol yimei chayecha, he darshaned the word kol, he convinced everybody it's not a d'rabbanan. It's a d'oraisa. Oh, it's a d'oraisa. Then everybody, and he convinced, his argument held water, and everybody felt he's saying something that was very important. Now he upgraded the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim b'layla kol yimei chayecha is halelos. Then they all agreed, and everybody came around to his thinking. And so they said parshas. They said the last parsha of Kriyat Shema at night as well. So v'lo zochisi shetayama yitzias mitzrayim ba'layla is for that reason. Is that everybody that listened to me was just said it's only a rabbanan and not a d'oraisa. Can I get our rabbanim dibra Torah? It's a very interesting thing. Is that only four sons? The idea, it doesn't say your son. It says Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah is it's everybody's mitzvah to speak to everybody's son. V'gadat Levincha is not only your son, these are the Arba Bonim. But the point is, he said, the Avudram makes the point again, is saying the wonderful part about the Torah is, just like we say, Shivim Panim La Torah, the Torah has such beautiful properties, is that it can connect to every type of person. Whether you're the Rasha, whether you're the Chacham, or the Tam, or the She'enu de Elisho, the Torah has the ability to speak to each one of those children on their level. You can explain to the Rasha, you can explain it on the level of the Chacham, of course, but everybody has something to tell him. The interesting thing that Rabbi Alfred makes is the She'enu de Elisho, I thought of it when you mentioned that the She'enu de Elisho was a very interesting thing, because he's no different than the Rasha, really, and that is the exasperation. I'm sorry, I'll stop right away. I'll stop here. This could go on. After Pesach, I'll finish. is just that at Pesachlo, what is the point is because you lose your energy like a woman because you've gotten so exasperated trying to deal with him. The Russia is giving you an argument. He's talking to you. So you're having a conversation back and forth. But the Sheyan Odishol says, Moich Pasli. I have nothing to say. I don't care. So you're really at a loss for words and you don't really know what to say. So we're giving you your opening salvo, how to start to deal with him, and at Pesachlo. And you have to start to talk to him because he's not going to say anything because he doesn't care. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'm sorry. You too.
The point that you mentioned that, you know, you can talk to everybody at his level.
Yeah.
Like Kagan used to say.
He said,
when kids start going to school, what do you teach them? You start teaching them Chumash. You get a little older, you start teaching them.
Right.
You ask him, why? So, who's the author of the Chumash? He said, Kodesh Baruch. So shouldn't that be the last thing you teach you? He says, no, that's the answer. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can talk to everybody at everybody's level.
Right.
But learning Gemara, you can't do that. You're a little kid that won't understand what you're talking about.
My grandson had fish. He has a couple. Don't drop that.
Kill them all like that.
No, they bought something that's a fish in the discussion of answer, but the fish didn't
like it.